Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is Cecilia Hinojosa. Cecilia is a graduate from the University of Texas at El Paso. She got a BA in psychology just this last May. But Cecilia has been doing some incredible things, and we're very proud of one of the exceptional lady minors here. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of her research and what she did. But first of all, Cecilia, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, as far as tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you grew up and kind of some of your interests.
Okay. So I'm originally from El Paso, Texas. My father had a job working for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, so we had to move around a lot. So when I was younger, I moved to Kentucky, and then after that, I moved to Houston. But my dad wanted to go back home, so we came back to El Paso when I was in second grade, and we've been here ever since.
Now, as far as I mentioned, you have a degree in psychology. Have you always been interested in psychology or the sciences?
Right. So in middle school, I remember sitting down, and this is probably a very unlikely thing to happen to a middle schooler, but I was at the computer and I was reading articles on serial killers. And that's when I really started my passion for psychology, because I really wanted to know what made them kill and why they chose to do so. But when I was reading a book about being a criminal profiler and a psychologist who works with serial killers, I remember a quote, and it said, "Don't become the monster in which you study." And that really made me start thinking about whether or not this is really what I wanted to do. So my father and grandfather were both in the military, and that really made me want to join the military as well. When I was in high school, I decided to graduate a year early. So I was 17 when I graduated, and I wanted to join the military. Unfortunately, my parents didn't sign for me to go to the military, which might be a good thing, but I always still wanted to serve my country. So I thought maybe combining being a psychologist who works with those who have what's called post-traumatic stress disorder might be the best route that I could take. So right now, that's my focus. I really want to be a psychologist who works in the military field with those who have post-traumatic stress disorder.
So tell us about your experience here at UTEP. You had ideas of what you wanted to study, but you know, sometimes when we go to school, all of a sudden we see new windows open up, and
exactly,
and we go in different directions. But I'm sure that you continue to pursue your love. But tell us about your experience with other professors, perhaps experiments, and also some of the students.
Yeah, definitely. So when I came to UTEP, I knew that if I wanted to get my PhD in psychology, I had to gain research experience to go to graduate school. So the opportunity that I got was an amazing opportunity with Dr. Laura Odell. So the first internship I ever received was through the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA for short, and that was my rising sophomore year, so that summer. And I was beginning to work with Dr. Laura Odell, and in her lab, she focuses on nicotine addiction in vulnerable populations. So there's really three areas that she studies. It's with adolescents, females, and with diabetes. So my role in that lab has been specifically focusing on the diabetes aspect. So some of the projects that I've been working on is trying to figure out why diabetic individuals smoke more and have a harder time quitting smoking. We've kind of came up with two hypotheses to answer the question. The first one that we came up with is that we're thinking that diabetic individuals experience an enhanced rewarding effect to nicotine than healthy individuals who smoke. And the second hypothesis is that when a diabetic individual tries to quit smoking, they receive enhanced withdrawal effects to nicotine. So that's kind of really where my role in the lab with Dr. Dahl has been. And that's kind of some of the work that I presented when I went to Posters on the Hill.
So tell us a little bit about what you did in Washington and going before congressional staffs and presenting your research. How did this come about?
Yeah, so I'm in a, well, I was in a program called Building Scholars and the Campus Office of Undergraduate Research here at UTEP. So I just want to say that UTEP has an amazing undergraduate research area that any undergraduate who's interested in having research experience should look into. So my role in Building Scholars, I basically received money to, or was funded under, to just conduct research for 3 years. So this helped me tremendously when I was trying to focus on my studies, and I can also just keep gaining research experience. And as part of that, one of the mentors that I had as part of Build asked me if I wanted to try to apply to this program that was under, it's called the Council on Undergraduate Research. So basically, the Council on Undergraduate Research is this a nonprofit organization that's national, and they really like focusing on undergraduate research that is happening nationally. So I applied to this event called Posters on the Hill. So basically, only 60 students out of the nation were chosen, and you show research to congressmen and other staff, and you just want to kind of show off what you've been conducting and how the research that we're doing is helping the nation. And they also like to have an emphasis on maybe having more support towards undergraduate research financially or through the congressmen so they can support it even more. So I just had to apply to that, and I was thankful that I got chosen. And I went to Washington, D.C. for about 2 days. And during that time, I met with our Congressman Beto O'Rourke. And he was very interested in the work that I was doing in Dr. Odell's lab. And he wanted to know what my future steps were. He said that anything that I needed, he would be happy to support, because he really wants me to come back to El Paso after my ventures out to get my PhD. So that was very nice to know that he was willing to help me in any way possible.
One of your areas of research also, and this is something that El Paso, not just El Paso, the whole country is dealing with, and that's diabetes.
Right. So there's been a lot of clinical studies showing that people who have diabetes and who smoke have a harder time quitting and smoke more than the regular population who don't have diabetes. So this is if you just have diabetes alone, it's a very hard thing to deal with. But add the smoking consequences, there's a very high likelihood that there's a higher mortality rate. So that's really why we want to focus on why people with diabetes are smoking more, because there is such a higher risk that comes along with that.
What about as far as your graduate work? What do you want to study? And tell me that you're going to enroll in graduate school this coming fall. And people might be interested as far as, you know, what are some of your goals? Are you going to pursue about cigarette smoking, addiction, cessation, and diabetes? Or what are your plans, Cecilia?
Sure. So I was also in another lab with Dr. Michael Zarate, who was doing studies on post-traumatic stress disorder as well. So I joined that lab to regain kind of my passion that I had for post-traumatic stress disorder. And that really helped me choose what I wanted to do in regards as my goals. So I got accepted to Tufts University in the fall, and that's in the Medford area, kind of next to Boston. So I will be going there, and I will be working with Dr. Lisa Shin, and she works with post-traumatic stress disorder. She is a neuroimager. So basically, she wants to find out what kind of the brain structures that are used in post-traumatic stress disorder, and if there are some things that we can see in the brain that leads us to find some factors that makes one vulnerable to developing post-traumatic stress disorder.
When you were doing some work with Dr. Sarate, did you specifically or deal with any of our soldiers here at Fort Bliss? And if you did, what are some of the common issues? We hear about post-traumatic stress disorder, but a lot of people don't really understand it.
Yeah. So unfortunately, for what we were doing with Dr. Zarata, we did not use the clinical population, one, because we're not clinicians, but also because we kind of felt like the tests that we were running, we didn't want to put those who might have post-traumatic stress disorder through kind of the emotional stimuli that we are using. So we were using participants who were through UTEP, and we kind of induced a sense of stress. So we made them have an electrode to their arm. So every time they made a mistake or they didn't answer something correctly, they would receive a shock, even though they would never really receive the shock. But we just kind of wanted to induce some stressful-like behaviors. But so with post-traumatic stress disorder, what we see, it's such a debilitating disease. And that's why I really, really want to work with it, because I feel like those who really need the help aren't getting it. So with post-traumatic stress disorder, we're seeing individuals that are coming back after serving overseas for maybe one tour or multiple multiple tours, up to 5 tours, and they're not the same as they were when they left. So they're having flashbacks, they're having nightmares, they keep looking over their shoulder because they can't understand that they're back home and they're not in that stressful environment anymore. So that's really why I want to help those who've helped us so much with sustaining our freedom.
And we've heard the stories, we've read television programs about what post-traumatic stress disorder is, but you and I know from reading some of that research is the fact that, yes, it affects the soldier, but it also has a very traumatic impact on their families.
Right. So one of the things I really want to do after I get my PhD is I want to kind of create some community-like structures so that it's we know we can have like classes and workshops to help the families understand exactly what their husband, wife, brother, sister is actually going through. So I think a lot of the thing about treatment with post-traumatic stress disorder is that we need to ensure that the whole family is behind that individual who has it. So I think that in having these workshops and pursuing this would be a great way to ensure that treatment is not just with that one person, but it's with the whole family to make sure that that individual is at what he used to be or was.
Did you find through your research, talking about families, we usually associate the wife, mother, father. What about children? Did you find out anything about the effects on children?
Right. So children are affected a lot by seeing their parent go through such heartache. So they're affected in many ways, but they're mostly, they really, unless the wife, mother, father understands what the individual that has post-traumatic stress disorder is going through, they really don't know what's happening. So the child just basically sees that the parent is going through a rough time and they don't know why. And they want to have that person back that they used to have. The parent probably won't want to play with the child anymore. He won't want to take him out anymore. And that's not his fault. That's just because he's afraid of all the stimuli that's around him. So the child can have a feeling of kind of they're not wanted anymore or that they're affecting the parent. So I think, again, having like workshops and communities that help the parents and the children with this disorder would be the best option in attaining the best way of helping this individual out.
This is, we have a couple of minutes left in the program, but I saw a documentary maybe 5 months ago. This showed how dogs have really helped soldiers. And of course, you know, some of them take them with them on tour, but then when they come back also, they help them a lot.
Right. And there was even a movie that came out, I think it was called Max. It's about this dog that the dog himself has post-traumatic stress disorder. So that is debilitating as well. But dogs are a great companion and they try as most as they can to help the individual out. So dogs are very calming. They understand when something actually is a threat to an individual and when something isn't. And that's really what's being affected in people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. So I think that's one of a key treatment option that individuals can use if they want to get over the disorder.
Well, Cecilia, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And we are all very proud of you. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We've been visiting with Cecilia Hinojosa. Cecilia is a graduate of UTEP here. She graduated with a BA in psychology, and she's going this coming fall to continue her education at the Experimental Psychology Doctoral Program at Tufts University. Thank you again very much for being with us here.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.